As we are moving into this Christmas week, reminder, this Friday is Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. We have our candlelight service. I would encourage you to come. If you got little ones, if you have people who like to think that they're little ones, bring them in their jammies, as long as they are publicly acceptable jammies. Candlelight service on Christmas Eve is one of my favorite childhood memories, and I just encourage everybody to come and participate. It is relatively short service, but it is one that we all enjoy. That kids are dismissed for Children's Church with Donna. Another reminder that I would like to have give everybody is that you're in your bulletin, you see a few things there. You know, you see the church's financial situation, you have reminders about signing up for the year-end offering, you know, to support the seminary that they're going to be building and more rooms to and more dorms and classrooms for in Vietnam. And also, we had missions conference here in November, and we passed out the cards, and we said, you know, take these home and pray about them. We'd like you to sign those cards and give them back. We'd like you to fill out that envelope for the year-end offering and give that back. We'd like you to prayerfully consider what you can do to help support Northbrook. It's a year end. You've got all sorts of people asking for additional funds. I understand this. We understand this. What I'm asking you to do is to pray and seek God's direction in all of this. Okay? Listen to what He's telling you to do and do it. We spend a lot of money this time of year on things which, quite frankly, get thrown away, aren't used. Next month is January, and y'all know what that means. That's when I preach stewardship. Let's be good stewards of the resources which God gives us. Yes, let us celebrate. I'm not telling anybody not to have a celebration. But let us be good stewards of the resources which God has given us. And sometimes we just buy things to buy things. You know, say, Pastor, well, you bought these buttons. Yeah, but I got them at half price. Free shipping. And I like the message. And people are worrying. Think about what we do. Ask God what it is He wants us to do. And then follow that. Which is pretty much very similar to what we're going to be looking at in our scripture today. So if you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, as we are out of Isaiah until February. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. And we're going to read a story or a portion of a story that usually doesn't get a lot of upfront time in the Christmas story. Starting with verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We come to you today seeking those blessings. Lord, we want to be blessed by you. We want to know you more each and every day. Father, reveal your word to us. Show us the lessons that you have therein. And Lord, show us how to apply those lessons to our lives here today in ways that maybe we've never even thought of previously. Father, help us to remember a familiar but oft neglected passage. And see it new today. Now, Lord, I pray for your anointing upon me as I preach your word. I ask, Lord, that you would encourage your people here and that your name would be the one lifted up and glorified. Lord, we all ask these things in your name, that of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our God with us, Emmanuel. Amen. Well, it's Christmas. Christmas season. Saturday is actually Christmas Day. Just a few short days. And as we look at the season, hopefully we're remembering what it's about. Now, there's some backstory to the passage that I read today. You're probably all familiar, at least I hope you are, with the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth and the foretelling of the birth of John, who became known later as John the Baptist, and how Zechariah was a priest, and he went into the temple to worship and to serve. And by lot, he was chosen to be the one who would go into the holy place and burn incense. This was not something that occurred often in the life of a priest. It was a very special occasion. And he went in. And there, he was greeted by an angel. And the angel told him, he and his wife were going to have a child. Well, he and his wife were both old. Now, I'm not sure if that means 50. I'm coming up on 50 here in June, and I kind of like, it doesn't feel old. But how old was old? I don't know. Was it 40? Was it 50? Was it 60? He was certainly of the age where they weren't expected to have children anymore. They hadn't had any. Apparently, Elizabeth was barren. And they'd come to the point in life where now the expectation that they would ever have children just wasn't there. Said, after this many years, if we haven't had kids, it's not going to happen. But the angel says, you will. Now, Zechariah, a priest of God, in God's temple, is being spoken to by someone who he knows and recognizes as an angel of the Lord. And yet, when God speaks to him through this angel, because remember, angels are messengers. They carry the word that God has given them to his people. That's what an angel does. And this angel carries the message that God has given the angel to carry to Zechariah, God's priest. And God's priest's response was, I don't believe you. How can I know this is true? There was disbelief. Now, we also have the backstory of Mary being told that she, a young girl, engaged, you know, promised in marriage, but still never having been with this man. A virgin who also meets with the angel in a different setting. And she is told that she is going to be with child. She hears God's angel give her God's message for her, and her response is that of belief, but yet of wonder. I'm a virgin, how is this going to be? Just as a small child, and I say, if I told my kids when they were little, hey, guess what, we're going to Disney World. My kids wouldn't have said, I don't believe you. They'd have said, how are we going to do it? You know, are we driving? Are we taking a plane? You know, what's going on? How are we getting there? That was Mary's response. Not one of disbelief, but one of wonder. She wanted to know how it's going to happen. She wasn't ignorant. She knew how children came into this world. She said, well, God, how are you going to do this thing? Not questioning that God could or that He would, but going, I got to know more. Tell me about it. That's the backstory. Now, the angel also told Mary about her cousin, who happened to be Elizabeth, who 6 months previously had been told that, or 6 months previously had gotten pregnant. And she went into seclusion for 5 months so that she wouldn't lose this child. And Mary immediately leaves and goes to visit Elizabeth. Now, this is where my trip to Israel kind of really drives this home to me. See, she's in Nazareth, and Elizabeth is in the hills of Judea. So we're talking, on a map, 50 to 60 miles away. At this time, there were no nicely engineered paved roads. There were some, but from Nazareth to Jerusalem? No. There were a couple of main roads that were a little straighter than most, but, and again, the hillside, the country, this goes up and down. Fifty, 60 miles in a straight line could easily be 75 to 100 miles of actual footsteps, because that's how she got there. She didn't jump in the car, jump on a plane, jump on a bus, or even ride a bike. Again, as a poor young woman, she wouldn't have had a horse or a camel or even a donkey of her own. She just would have walked and gotten there. Now, there's something else that we often forget about here. Is this woman was able to walk safely from Nazareth to the hills in Judea because of the fact that the Romans were in control. You see, crime was swiftly dealt with and very severely dealt with. So it was actually a relatively safe time for people to travel. So she was able to do so. And she did it. Why? I mean, it's her cousin. They lived a long distance away. They were a great disparity in age. One was a woman of an age where she was never expected to have a child. So let's call her on the young side of that, at 50. You know, Mary was probably somewhere between 13 and 16. That's young. How many 15, 16-year-olds hang out or go visit 50-year-olds? Not a lot. There's a few. But how many are going to travel by foot? 100 miles, possibly, to do so. But Mary did it. Now comes the question, why? Right? Because the angel mentioned it to her. Therefore, it must be important. So she went to go see her cousin. And when she walked in the house, the scripture here is very specific. It says, where she entered into Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You ever see a 16-year-old enter a house? Hi! Some are like that. Some come in very quietly. I have no idea which end of the spectrum Mary was. I would guess she was enough of a firebrand to travel a distance like this. But yet she went to her cousin. You see, and when this 50, 60, 70-year-old woman, I don't know, when she heard her voice, when she saw and heard her voice, and the baby leaped in the womb, and the Holy Spirit came upon her. She had this to say. She said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear." This is the first thing out of her mouth. "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" This is obviously a word of knowledge that the Holy Spirit has given her. "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mary heard and believed, and then she followed up and sought confirmation of what was going on. See, the angel had told her about Elizabeth, her cousin. So she went to go check out Elizabeth and hear what was going on there. And the first thing out of her mouth was confirmation through the Holy Spirit of the call and the message that was delivered earlier by the angel Gabriel. Mary showing up for Elizabeth and what goes on there was also confirmation to her about the prophecy and the promise given about her own son. There was blessing shared. Mary was blessed. Okay, she said, blessed among women. Blessed is this child. She was blessed for believing. She was blessed with the confirmation. She received some significant blessings. Elizabeth received some blessings. The Holy Spirit came upon her in power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you in power, it is indeed a blessing of God. The Holy Spirit did come upon her. And she was in the presence. Elizabeth was in the presence of this young girl. And that was a blessing. Why? Because this young girl was indeed the mother that God had chosen to be incarnated through. This is significant. These blessings came, these women, because God called them. They received confirmation of that call through each other, through the hand of God. Now they also both did face significant trials and hardships. They both had their sons killed for the proclamation of the Word of God. Mary actually witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus. She got to share in the resurrection. But I hate to even think the pain that a mother would feel watching their child killed in front of them through a means of torture. But yet the blessing was there before. She got to experience the blessing. There was a call. There was a confirmation, and with that confirmation came blessings that were only there because of the call. Now, when God calls us, and I firmly believe He does call each one of us, I'm going to have as significant a call as the Archangel Gabriel showing up in front of us and say, hey, guess what? You're going to have a baby. Like, whoa. All the ladies here are going, no. But you have probably at some time received a call of some sort from God. But did you believe or did you disbelieve? Because Zechariah disbelieved, even though he got some of the blessing, there was consequences to the disbelief. He was made mute from the time he heard the message and finished his conversation with the angel until his son was born to name John. Sometimes our consequences for not following can be more severe. I heard God's call to be a pastor. I heard it, I knew it, but I didn't want to do it. And literally God broke my leg so that I would follow Him, stay close to Him. And that too was a confirmation. See, what we see here is something that we see elsewhere in Scripture, is that when God gives a call, He also brings confirmation. He just doesn't say something once and then there's silence. He doesn't say anything again. But what He does is He brings His word to us. He brings us His call. And there is, time and again, confirmation. Mary had the confirmation. Mary heard the word directly from an angel. Then she heard it again through Elizabeth. Later, she hears it through the mercy and grace of Joseph, who instead of putting her away or having her stoned, receives her and the child as his own to raise up. These are all confirmations. Say, I'm not going to have those kind of confirmations. Yes, you will. God does speak to each and every one of us, and He does put calls on our lives. A lot of times, though, we only have one major significant call. We need to be open and ready to that. But many times, we have smaller calls. We have, talk to that person right there. I'm not sure I should. You talk to them and they respond. That itself is a confirmation. I had God plant this idea in my head about going to Liberia. I'm going to go to Liberia in March. You want to hear confirmations? I'm thinking about it. I'm praying about it. I feel, oh God, am I supposed to go? I'm supposed to go? Yeah, I'm supposed to go. Okay. Okay, I steel myself for the conversation. Okay, you know what that conversation is, right? It's one where I tell Donna. Okay. Not only am I telling Donna that I'm going to Liberia, but she's not. I go, honey, I got to tell you something. Oh, what is it? Well, I think God wants me to go to Liberia in March, and I don't think you're going to be able to. Well, yeah, I know. What? Yeah, I know. I knew that already. I knew you were going. What? She knew. I go to my board. I'm thinking, how are they going to respond to this? Pastor's looking to leave, going to be gone for a significant period of time. What was the board's response? Every single one of them said, well, yeah, of course you got to go. I mean, I didn't have to argue with anybody. I didn't have to. They were all like, well, no, yeah, you have to do this. This is a good idea. We think God wants you to do it. This was basically the response I received back. I'm like, okay. Place after place, it was confirmation after confirmation. It wasn't just, me having had a little extra spicy pizza. God calls us to do something. He will bring confirmation. We need to be obedient to following the call. We need to look for those confirmations. Because truly, if it is God's call, He's not going to leave you out there on a limb. Say, no. God wants you to do something, you'll get the ask. Say, well, I'm not sure I should do that. Somebody else will say, I think you'd be good at it. And you might not even have asked him for confirmation. Or somebody else will come up and ask you to do the same thing. These things happen. You say, Pastor, how do you get this out of this passage about Mary and Elizabeth? Look at this. Mary was seeking to follow up on what the Holy Spirit, what the angel Gabriel had said to her. And she gets there and she meets Elizabeth, and it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to her. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through Mary. How many adult women of advanced age say, first thing out of their mouth to a 16-year-old, 15-year-old, 14-year-old, however old she is, but young, girl, say, you are the mother of the Messiah. I am blessed to meet you. It doesn't happen unless the Holy Spirit's involved. When you see that confirmation. So I ask you to look in your own life for when God calls you to something, for those confirmations. Mary could have fought against it, like I did to my call. Sometimes God will work with us and bring a little correction to have us walk that call. But sometimes He calls, and if we don't follow the call, we just accept the personal consequences. You know, if I call you for dinner and you don't come, well, you don't get to eat. Blessings are there if we hear the call, we follow. Now, yes, you can also be assured that there will be trials as we look at the future of both Mary and Elizabeth. They both went through significant difficulties. Elizabeth had gone through years of the shame in that society of being a woman who was barren and could not have a child. And yet, in the end, she was blessed. Sometimes the trials come before the blessing. Sometimes the blessing comes and then the trial. There is no set. But the trials are going to come. The blessing comes when we are obedient to the call. Then we really get to receive and participate in the blessings. That's when God can really use us in ways that we would never have imagined. Who would imagine that God would choose a young girl? In the hymns that we sang today, that was the message, part of the message. Through this young girl of such low social standing, of pauperhood. She didn't have any money. But yet God used her as the vehicle by which He brought salvation to the whole world. None of us knows what kind of an impact our obeying and following the call will have. But it blesses us and it blesses those around us. Anybody here been blessed by Mary? Hey, I'm not Catholic, but I'll say Mary was indeed blessed above all women. And we have all been blessed through her obedience. we can each one be a blessing if we too are obedient. Look to God. Listen for God's call. Watch for the confirmations. And then walk in it. Walk in it strongly. Don't deviate. And you will be a blessing. And you will receive blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you do call us and you give us confirmation. That when you do speak to us, you understand that sometimes we're a little slow and we need the encouragement. Lord, we thank you for these things. Even Mary, who believed, was given confirmation, as was John, who didn't believe. So Lord, we know that you confirm your call. Help us each to hear your call and to see and hear the confirmations that you provide for those calls in our lives. That we might be obedient to it and share in its blessing and be a blessing to others through it too. As Lord, we are blessed Christmas through Mary's obedience. Lord, Elizabeth said that blessed are you among women and blessed is the child you will bear. That child is you. We give you thanks, Lord, for your willingness to come in this manner to be our sinless sacrifice, that we can be restored to a right relationship with you. Lord, we are blessed. And your word confirms it. So do our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing and hark the herald, angels sing.